probably already his fifth stoush of the day, that early in the morning yesterday. How are you, Denny? Morning to you.
Morning, gents. It was a fair old drive from Bondi to Penrith to get brushed.
You weren't leaving there without something, anyhow.
We got something, you know. Look, I heard your coffee shop chat early in the morning. You know, I always listen early. I had to sort of tune out for a little while, just doing a couple other things. But I don't, have you dropped the exclusive about what Grubby's role is at the Bulldogs? I've found out what it actually is.
No, explain more, please.
Well, he's Reid Marnie's personal coach. I've now worked out what he does. He walks around at Belmore looking good as a legend of the club. But I reckon he takes Reid Marnie aside. He teaches him how to run and talk at the same time. How to dodge bigger guys and give it to them right in their face.
There's an art to it, Denny, and you're right. You are right because I've seen similarities in Reid.
Oh, mate, it's grub mark too, isn't it?
Yeah. So what do you say to him, mate?
Well, I just make sure, like, if there's opportunities,
right? Never miss an opportunity
in everyday life. And every if he's walking past someone and you know, like, they do something, let them know.
So do you? Like, get him to start it or just to contribute if it starts to unfold?
A bit of both. Because sometimes you start it, sometimes you contribute. And
but you never started it.
Nah. No. Just contributed.
Never started it.
You know what's Paul Reid is? I spoke to him after the game and he's like, oh, you know, because this is what happens. Every couple of people come out and say, oh, he's this and that. And I said, that's when you go harder.
Robbie, was it Mick Ennis who taught you? Is it you pass down the baton? Yeah. Is that how it works?
Pass down from generations to generations.
Generation of one grub to the next to the next. But yeah, well, I actually, you know, people are getting, you know, upset with Reid, but I think Canterbury need it. I mean, Canterbury haven't got all of the forward weapons that some of the other clubs have, but what they can have is a competitive spirit. And provided he doesn't cost his team, I think you know, he can be the heartbeat for them, can't he? I mean, the Dogs have got, you know, everyone was bagging their pack at the start of the year. Obviously, Billy Kickow is the out-and-out superstar. But apart from that, they haven't got a hell of a lot of players who, you know, are household names. Josh Curran obviously is doing really well. But that what they've shown is that Reid Marnie sort of, you know, fight and... You know, he's yapping away like a little chihuahua at him. And someone, you know, will give it to him one day, you'd imagine, even more than they have. But for now, you know, while he can get away with it, you know, I think that he's really important. I think that the way he's doing that role, it's almost a signature of that club at the moment. They're playing like that. They're playing above their weight, particularly the forwards. And I know they're not going to win the comp, and they might sort of have some bad days. But right now, their revival is really interesting to watch. And I think, yeah, I know Billy's been great, and Burton's been great, and these guys. But I do like the spirit he's showing.
No, they have played with plenty of spirit, and they're playing some really good football. But just before I move on from this topic, Grubby, I want to know, what's the key to being a good sledger? I shouldn't ask the key to being a good sledger, but did you have a, during the week, do video on who you were going to attack, or did it just unfold while it was out on the field? Or did you go out there with a specific plan of him and him, I'm going to get into today?
No, you have battles, yeah, always. But, right. I always know, like, if I'm going up against someone, like, it's on.
Right.
Like it's, yeah. But I'd never go in thinking about it. I'm more of a ad lib. I used to ad lib on the field, yep. But then ad lib with that side of the game.
Right. You sort of had a few targets, but you wouldn't start it, or
I always start it.
What are you talking about then? No. You were the aggressor.
No, well,
you would have been targeted.
Though. But it's sort of like as we were speaking about. I was a bit like Ivan, you know, like with Danny yesterday.
Yeah.
Sometimes it wasn't emotional. It was just like, kick out in the full. Yeah. Good kick, mate. Give him a tap on the leg, you know. And tap, it's just, it's nothing outrageous.
Kill him with kindness.
People say it's grubby. All I'm saying was, good kick. Just be a bit better next time.
I bet you they appreciate the advice.
Yeah. Some people took it the wrong way. I was just letting them know, but yeah.
I love this text.
Hey Grub, would you give it to yourself more though? Like I could almost see your brain working on the field. Like, if you get angry at yourself, or you know, if you'd be chastising yourself, and you know, I'd hate to hear the inner talk that was going on in your head.
Oh, mate, you do not want to know what happens up there. That's one thing that I will. But you know, it's funny now. I watch players that are a bit, you know, in
do you
the
like
game.
Them? No,
no. I look at him and go, I'd get into him. Yeah.
I love this text. How many NRL players would be itching to have a charity fight with Reid Marnie at the end of the year? Probably plenty at the moment.
I'll be in his corner.
The big story of the day, though, is David Fifita and how this all plays out as far as where do you think he will end up and what chance are the Titans of actually holding on to him, Denny?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, you know. I started calling the Roosters late last week about Fifita, and I kept on getting, no, we're not interested. Even yesterday, I was getting, you know, I started off my day by ringing them and saying, look, I keep hearing there's something going on. Eventually, I got to the point where I got a tip that Fifita may have been to have a dinner with Trent Robinson, the coach. And that's the way that they operate, the Roosters. And I think the talks of the Roosters are not a new thing. I think they've been going on in the background for a while. So, you know, we're talking about this last-minute sort of rush for David Fifita. I'd be surprised if the Roosters just came in the last, you know, 24 hours. I mean, it's only now that we've been able to stand up that story that they're interested at the moment. So, you know, as of last night, I still think there wasn't a lot of confidence the Roosters were expressing about the likelihood of landing David Fifita. But all along, they've been playing the line that, you know, we're not really interested. And, you know, I think they're worried about getting beaten on it. And they don't like getting beaten.
No. Did Gus have anything to say on 100% footy last night about his drama with the NRL?
Oh. It is a drama, right? And he did. He basically said that, you know, he's fighting it. He's got a lawyer involved. You know, he doesn't believe he's done anything really wrong. And I think that the line that the NRL used was an interesting one, because they said that Gus's comments were destructive. Look, I think it's an interesting fight that the NRL are taking on this one, because Gus has said a lot more pointed things about the NRL than this. And if you watched what he said a week ago, it was very theatrical. You know, he was playing it up. You know what Gus can get like. You know,
nothing wrong with it, Denny. There's nothing wrong with it. This is an element of censorship, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't think this one is. You know, I understand. Look, Gus has got an agreement. And I don't have to speak on his behalf, but he's got an agreement with Andrew Abdo and co that he can talk about matters as long as he's not, you know, along the lines of the coach, as long as he's not questioning integrity and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not directly about his club. And in this instance, I think it was the Appy thing, Appy Coruscant try or
yeah,
no
was.
Try, whatever, that really set it off. And that's not his team, you know. He was just talking generally. And I don't, you know, like social media, make what you want of it. You can read it if you want to. You don't have to read it if you don't want to. But if you look at the online comments and all that sort of thing in this instance, I think I've never seen Gus get as heavily supported on a matter. Like people love to just line him up and kick him where they can, and they take every opportunity to do that. But in this instance, the support has almost been unanimous that Gus has got a point. And people are talking about GoFundMe pages. mate, Gus would have 20 lives in his back pocket, I reckon. So, you know what he's like, grubby, you know, yeah. Never short of a dollar. But I think that, I do think that in this one, it's an interesting hill for the NRL to want to die on this one, because, you know, Gus has got to be in his bonnet about it now. And, you know, I don't think, in this instance, calling the game stupid, was it, I think it was theatrical. Was it destructive? I don't know. I do know that for a while there's been comments that Gus has been making about the rules and who has influence over who makes the rules. And I think that's what's getting under the skin of the NRL. You know, his criticism of who they're influenced by, like is it by coaches or social media or whoever. He's made those comments a couple of times. I reckon more so than, you know, a couple of jabs about calling, you know, the game stupid or rules stupid. I think that's really to the point of it. And I think that's what's annoying the bosses of the game. And I'd be interested to see. I mean, he says he's going to take it on, and he's hired. I think it's a lawyer called Rami Katani, who's had a bit to do with a number of rugby league people in the past. And I know he's, you know, he's a league man, so he's going to be the one who's in Gus's corner. So let's see what happens. It's, you know, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think Gus will be backing down from this one, but. Danny, Angus Crichton, obviously in contract talks, seems like he wants to stay. Do you think he'll stay, mate, or do you think he might head somewhere else?
Look, Grubby, this one relates a little bit to David Fifita. In the background, both the Roosters and Penrith have got Crichton. He's better than a fallback, but he's got. I think that Penrith would see Crichton as a potential target if they were to miss out on David Fifita. I know the Roosters are. You know, they weren't budgeting on keeping Angus Crichton, but his form over the last month has forced their hand. Now, from what I can gather with the Crichton situation, he had, I think it was some sort of a verbal agreement to go play with a French rugby team, but it's not until the middle of next year, from what I can gather, or perhaps late this year, depending on how the Roosters went. But the situation with his French rugby team is, I think the team he's got this verbal with is that they are facing potential relegation. And I don't think Angus Crichton's that keen to go and play second division rugby in France or whatever. I don't know whether they call it second division. I'm not an expert in that area, but I think that's part of the issue. There's also an issue in there are a lot of players on the market in English and European rugby because I think a couple of teams folded over there. So the market's not as good for the likes of a Crichton and others, so which makes potentially league an option again for him. And, yeah, look, the Roosters, they were telling me yesterday, no, we're not in David Fifita. We are focused on keeping Angus Crichton and we're going to make him an offer most likely this week. So, you know, whether they can have both those players, whether they're, you know, it's all about a bit of face saving, I don't know. But there's definitely interest. And I think if Angus was to not go to rugby, I think, you know, and Penrith had space, I think they'd be interested or they'd definitely look at him. And I think that other teams would also look at him. You know, I think he'd be crazy not to. Like his form, his toughness, he's done most things in the game, and to his absolute credit, he's worked back from some, you know, some mental health issues that we're all very aware of, and he appears to be on a good path at the moment, and I think he's only 27, guys. You know, it feels like he's been around forever, but I'd be picking him in my Origin team too.
I think you got close to selection, Denny. I think his form sort of warrants certainly to be looked at, and I think there's a couple of other back rowers that I think will be considered, but I reckon they'll be mentioning his name. We know that Origin's just around the corner, and Stefano Utukamanu played Origin last year, and the Tigers are signing a few players lately, but what's the latest update with him? Will he re-sign with the Tigers, or will he go on the open market?
Loz, I know that there was a meeting last week with Stefano, and from what I can gather, they're keeping it a bit quiet, but I think the Tigers are in the process of making perhaps a 5-year offer to Stefano to keep him there long term and take him off the market if they can. big money too, like around the 900 mark, which is that's Josh Reynolds' money at the Tigers.
I'll tell you what I've got to do, Denny. I've got to start seeing what all the positions are now valued at. Like is a good front row now $1 million plus? Is it
just really good one? Because there's I know we're going to have this conversation time and again, but there aren't any on the market. Like Stefano, that's why Fifita's a valuable commodity. Like I don't know every single player that's coming off at the moment, but in terms of Ivan, though, one of the few things he decided to say yesterday, he said that David Fifita's a marquee player, and there aren't that many marquee forwards coming up. And I don't know if Stefano's quite in that category yet, but in terms of good props on the market, he's got a bunch of clubs who would probably like him, doesn't he? I mean,
I think he's a good player, but I sort of can't get my head around what $1 million player is now, and what positions are worth a certain amount of money, if you know what I mean.
I think clubs who are looking at Stefano are in the same boat as you, Laurie. Mm. They're questioning whether they could go as high as $1 million. If the Tigers are offering him $859, whatever it might be, right? To get him out of there, would you have to offer him more? Or you'd have to offer him at least equal that. I mean,
yeah,
he's not going
to
leave for too much less at worst, right? A Penrith might offer him just say a $750 or something. But yeah. I think the clubs are a little bit cold on the idea of paying absolute top dollar for him at this point. And so the Tigers, if they want to wrap him up, maybe if they are a bit generous in their offer, they do need to keep established, strong forwards, and just get him done, So it'll be interesting. Again, it's an interesting watch, but that's where that one's at the moment.
Boys, is he up there with the Loz, so you're saying $1 million players? Is he up there with the Tinos, the Haas, the Fisher Harrises?
See, I don't see him as Blakes. No, I see him as a good player.
Could he be?
Anything's possible. But I don't see him as that type of player just yet. So you're paying him on speculation and hype. And if he can get that, good on him. But if you're paying him close to 900 a million, and then he doesn't reach that figure in performances on the field, you've made a mistake.
And we know what's happened when clubs have paid players on hype and speculation.
Now we spoke about Ivan Cleary at the top when you went out and spoke to him as part of the media throng there yesterday, Denny. But he does want, and this is not the first time we've heard this coming out of Penrith, and I guess understandably, wants compensation for developing players.
Yeah, this is a favourite of the Panthers. I don't know if I've heard Ivan say it before. I've heard it coming from Brian Fletcher, their boss, and other such people. But yeah, Ivan's of that belief as well. And this always irritates other clubs, doesn't it? Because Penrith have got that magnificent pathway and juniors and all that sort of stuff, and they do produce a lot of players for other teams, and their stars are littered throughout the comp. So I understand exactly why Penrith is saying it, but it'd be the argument when you look at their cross-town rival for David Fifita, like the Roosters have to. Buy their juniors or recruit them and put them in their system. So it's a difficult one, but I do understand, where Ivan is coming from. And, Penrith do deserve enormous credit for what they've got going on there. How they get compensated for it, I think we've had this discussion for quite some time.
Denny, thank you. Another busy week.
Hey, Grubby, can I book in? I need to have better comebacks for when Ivan goes at me. Can I book in for some sledging lessons off you?
Yeah, see, Ivan's a hard one because I like when guys get emotional and try and come at you. Ivan's just got the straight bat, but I have got a couple of tactics for those type of guys too, mate.
I just don't remember. Were you and Ivan mates in the end? I can't remember.
Yeah, absolutely. He got me to the Tigers. But then he left. I don't know why he left. He was, he's trying to coach that Nathan Cleary bloke instead of me. Oh, come on, mate.
Gee, you think of all the sticky cop for that. It's worked out pretty well for me.
Mate, what an
good decision. What? Good decision.
Oh, I thought he did what they in Brooksy. Oh, yeah.
Get on the bus, Joshy. Get on the bus.
Great stuff, Teddy. Thank you.
Yeah.